Wisconsin is 54,000 square miles and change, and tucked into our acreage, you'll find forest land, farmland, lakes, big and small, and a whole lot of spectacular natural wonders. And that's where we're headed on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our guide is Missy Van Landit. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Recreation Management Program. That's part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Missy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Well, first of all, let's start with what is our good working definition here of a natural wonder?
You know, I was thinking about that last night and this morning a little bit. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the history of our state and just the gorgeous opportunities that we have to respect and appreciate our natural resource. But I think the other part of it really comes down to the experience and the memories that we have that are associated with those natural wonders. And, you know, I've had a lot of opportunity, the things that we're going to talk about today, I've had a lot of neat experiences in many of these places. And that's partly why I remember those natural wonders.
Because you made the memories there.
Exactly.
And whether it was a selfie, a picture, some way that you, had a really special experience.
Exactly.
And you're finding these places all over the state, not just in pockets.
Exactly. They're everywhere, you know, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan and to the Mississippi River Valley. We are so lucky to have different opportunities, and they're so distinct in many ways as well. Some very large, stretching hundreds of miles, and some, you know, the cornfields in your backyard. So we're very lucky to have such a variety.
Well, let's dig in here. Let's start with Apostle Islands. Where are they? Give us the geography. How many of them? And what is it like there?
Well, the Apostle Islands are, you know, in the Lake Superior, the National Lakeshore, and there's 21 islands that cover several thousand acres, and, you know, they're gorgeous. What I love about the islands, I've been to a few of them, not all of them with 21, but there's one accessible by car, which is Madeline Island. The other islands that I've been to, you know, you can see 10, 20, 30, 40 feet down into the water. It's such a unique experience for part of our state and quite honestly, fairly accessible. While many of the islands, 20 of the islands, are really only accessible by boat, some kind of watercraft, Madeline Island is actually accessible by car, bike, hiking. So by taking the ferry. So it's really just greatly neat experience to see caves and rock formations, but the clarity of the water. And if you're lucky enough to get out there on a calm, sunny, warm day, the experiences that you can have with kayaking or canoeing, stand-up paddleboarding, sailing, it's a wonderful opportunity for the residents of our state.
And, you know, spring is supposed to be here, but we've got the winter weather in the forecast. Not cold enough, though, to visit ice caves, but ice caves are a huge attraction.
They are. You know, in the years that we've been able to get out there, they attract tens of thousands of people to these different ice formations, which is really neat portion of the tourism of the northern part of the state when you think about it, and being able to appreciate some of these natural wonders year-round, because so many times we value that warm weather. If you can close your eyes and think about it, we value the sunshine and the heat, but there's so much to appreciate in the winter as well.
People can also explore Big Bay State Park. Can you give us a little bit of a tour of Big Bay State Park?
Yeah. So what the nice thing is about Big Bay is that if you're new to the islands, that's a good way to get a good flavor of it. That can be, you know, from a new experience all the way up through those who've had years and years and years of family history on the islands. It's something that's family friendly and accessible for different abilities as well. So Big Bay State Park has about 60 campsites. They've got several miles of trail that travel through boardwalk. But they also have miles of beach access as well. And they've got programs, concession programs, where you can actually go on kayak-led tours around the island and see the caves of Madeline Island as well. The first time I was there was actually with my two-year-old. And the nice thing is about that September-October time frame, the sun is at a good angle where it feels about 80 degrees. So it stretches that experience out. And the beach was just, it was a wonderful experience to be able to experience the islands for the first time, but have it be accessible for families.
What about staying? Because you can camp there at Big Bay State Park, but what about camping on the other islands?
There is, I believe, on 19 of the 21 islands you can actually camp, and there, I believe, is only one maybe reservable, but different islands have some reservable campsites, some first come, first serve. There's also different little harbors in there which you can moor your boat overnight as well. There's lots of different trails all over the islands, lighthouses, shoreline to experience, and then, of course, the sea caves.
And the hotels would be on Madeline Island then?
Mostly on the mainland.
On the mainland. Okay.
Exactly.
Wow. So cool. And, you know, like you said, you can go there any year, any time of the year, and really find beauty and just get something out of it.
Exactly.
Well, let's travel on to southeast of the Apostle Islands to Niagara Escarpment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nearly 1,000 miles long, stretches to the east, but it starts in Wisconsin. First, what is the Niagara Escarpment?
You know, it's a rock formation that has been formed millions of years ago that really was then formed and sheared off by glaciers. And it does start in Wisconsin, which is famous for us, and then it ends at Niagara Falls. So it's a good, it's an easy way to remember it. That's why it was named that way. The locals call it the ledge. It's something that, you know, we don't probably realize how much of it is accessible to us. When you really start to think about it, the two most accessible or three most accessible places all lie within public land, which is really neat, at High Cliff State Park, at Horicon Marsh, and at Peninsula State Park. So while you can walk a lot of remote areas, there are miles and miles that are actually underwater as well. Mm. But it can rise as high as 100 feet above the sea level. So it's a really neat land formation that we can explore. It's home to over 240, I believe, endangered, threatened, or different species. One in particular, there's a snail that lives, especially in Wisconsin, that's endangered on the escarpment. But it's really accessible for folks. You can experience it in Wisconsin by car or by hiking. And, you know, part of it, one of the things that we don't think about as much, for example, is Cave Point Park in Door County. That's a really good example of one element of the escarpment. But the other piece, too, the highest point of the escarpment in Wisconsin is actually at what they call the ledges, which is on the one end of the Horicon Marsh area. So we've got a number of different opportunities to view this rock formation in our state.
We're talking right now with Missy Van Landit. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program, part of the DNR. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you consider a natural wonder? Where is your favorite one in Wisconsin? Is it a site close to home, or did you find it hours away? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. James on Facebook says Dave's Falls in Marinette County is his favorite natural wonder in Wisconsin.
Great. We are home to so many wonderful waterfalls on thousands of acres of public land.
So tell us about Copper Falls. Where is it and what can people see?
Copper Falls is in Ashland County. It's one of several state parks that we actually have in that area of the state that provide a variety of waterfall experiences. It's in Mellon, which maybe most people haven't heard of Mellon, but that's about half an hour south of Ashland. So hopefully folks have heard of Ashland. But it's a wonderful park. The Bad River actually flows through there, and the Bad River helped to form part of that waterfall. That was actually part of the Douglas Fault. Okay. Billions of years ago. And so the Bad River flows through there. The neat part of both the Bad River and some of the other waterfalls that we have is they actually flow north into Lake Superior. Mm. So folks get a little bit confused directionally when they get up there. That's probably why, because the rivers are flowing the other way. But Copper Falls has lots of camping. The nice thing is they've got several different falls, both Copper Falls, Tyler's Forks, and Brownstone Falls. And I would call them a mid-range waterfall area. They range from anywhere from 10 to 30 to 40 feet in height. But we also have Amnicon Falls State Park, which is just about half an hour or less outside of Superior, just east of Superior, and Pattison Falls or Pattison State Park. Both of those have waterfalls. What I like about the variety of those three, they're within a couple hours of one another if you're looking for something where you want to do a waterfall tour. They also, you know, Pattison is home to the highest waterfall in the state, the fourth highest waterfall east of the Rockies. So what a neat experience to be able to see with Big Manitou. And they also have Little Manitou, which is about 30 feet high. Both have multiple viewing opportunities. Amnicon Falls is probably one of my favorites. Don't tell anyone. But it's because you can actually get really close to the waterfalls. And you can experience, if you're looking to really be immersed in the experience, you can get very close to the waterfalls and it really just drowns everything else out. So those three provide, you know, they're set in really neat communities and they provide wonderful experiences.
The DNR's Missy Van Landit is helping us out. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you consider a natural wonder? Where's your favorite one in Wisconsin? Let's discuss right after this news update on the Ideas Network. An abundance of lakes and rivers, preserved diverse landscapes, natural wonders off the beaten track. We're taking a tour of nature's most stunning creations right here in Wisconsin on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We've got the DNR's Missy Van Landit navigating for us. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. When did you discover a natural wonder here in Wisconsin? How does this place stay with you? Do you return to it again and again, or was it a one-off visit? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Dan joining us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
I was going to suggest Copper Falls, but since your guest already did, there's two east of Mellon. There's St. Peter's Dome, and then there's Morgan Falls.
Great suggestions. Dan, what do you love about those two places?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been there, but I want to say for myself, Copper Falls has to be one of the more beautiful falls that at State Park anybody would ever see. There, I'm told now that there are quite a few campsites, both electrical and otherwise, all around the park itself. And you got one of the finest small beaches for swimming there in the summertime.
Dan, thank you so much for those suggestions. Missy, anything to add there?
You know, what I love about Copper Falls is exactly what Dan said. You can get that variety of hiking over 8 miles and viewing this gorgeous river and the gorgeous waterfalls, but you can also go, there's a lake there. So there's a beach. It's a great place to bring families. It's a great place to get a variety of experiences, but you can go and do that hiking and see those natural wonders and then experience the lake as well.
And we didn't spend much time on Big Manitou Falls. Can you explain a little bit more about what Big Manitou Falls offers us?
Sure. Big Manitou being the highest in Wisconsin at 165 feet, there's at least four viewing opportunities to check out Manitou Falls. And what I love about it, or Big Manitou, what I love about Big Manitou is that you can, the viewing opportunities, you can see the entire waterfall itself. So you can, where Copper Falls and Amnicon Falls, you can get close up. Pattison, you can take in the breadth of the area. It actually lies on the Douglas Fault. The rock there was formed by lava flows billions of years ago. So you'll see the, and well as glaciers in the later years, but you'll see a really neat, you know, the rock formations, the different tree species, but you'll get this great, huge, at 165 feet waterfall that you don't typically see anywhere else in the state.
And how about Willow River. It's another place with some different geographic features.
It is. You know, I grew up, speaking of which, is this a, you know, you asked the question, is it a one-time thing? What I love, I grew up in River Falls, so I would go to Willow River all the time and never really understood the value of having something like that in your backyard. Willow River and the falls there are something that you can get up close and personal with. You can hike to the falls, which you can take two different routes, either a more gentle route or you can take a very steep route down to the falls, but you can get into the falls. Every time I'm there, it doesn't really matter if it's very cold or very warm, people are in the falls enjoying it. The lake right now is actually empty because we're in the process of putting a new dam back there, but the lake will be back in a couple of years. But that has not stopped visitors because the falls there are really what drew people there and continue to draw people there. A lot of neat vantage points to view them. And like I said, you can get up close and personal with those waterfalls.
What do you think draws people to waterfalls? Why are they such particularly fascinating natural wonders?
I think part of it is, like I said, with Amnicon Falls, it's something that you really, the power of water and the power of our natural resources, I think is intriguing. And when you start to see that combination of the water and the rock, it blows your mind at how powerful elements of nature can be. And it's something where, you know, we see floods or storm events, more negative events. But when you see those waterfalls, those are positive experiences that we have where we can get the opportunity to enjoy and respect nature. They're not everywhere. You know, like the caller said before, there's a few more just east of Copper Falls. But we've actually got many of our wild rivers, rustic, scenic places that have waterfalls that aren't as accessible. So I think for the general public to be able to come to some of these public lands and view these, they're in many cases few and far between, but they provide such a neat, solitude, respectful experience of our natural wonders.
Can you take us to Peninsula State Park?
Yeah. So Peninsula, located in Door County, right outside Fish Creek, is arguably one of our most popular state parks behind Devil's Lake, seeing about 1.5 million people a year. One of the things that I love about Peninsula is that, you know, we talked about the Niagara Escarpment, which one runs right through there. There's many different recreational opportunities to be able to experience that park, whether you want to go fishing, kayaking, hunting, snowmobiling. Actually, there's a snowmobile trail that goes right through there and connects to the local communities. You want to bike throughout the park, camping. There's an outdoor theater. So if you want to experience the arts, you can experience the outdoor theater in the summer. There's actually a golf course as well. So it's a really neat park serving several thousand acres that gives you a variety of experiences from the Niagara Escarpment to Green Bay, views of Lake Michigan, all the way to experiencing some of our natural beach forest, which doesn't exist in many places in Wisconsin, as well as some old growth hardwood forest, which is hard to find here as well.
Taking you all over the place, let's travel to the Kettle Moraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people call it the Kettles. Where are the Kettles?
The Kettles span several counties, essentially from, you know, down through Walworth County all the way up to through Sheboygan, Washington counties up through there. Again, formed by a couple of different glaciers that formed those kettles and the moraines. They can span anywhere from deep kettles, 100 feet deep, to moraines and hills that are several hundred feet high. So it offers a wide variety of experiences, vegetation, flora, fauna, for you to experience in many of those counties.
Why do people marvel at this topography? I mean, South Central Wisconsin, and what makes that unique, the Kettles?
I think part of it is just that variety in flora and fauna, especially. You can be hiking on one trail for a couple of miles and experience completely different plants and animals as you're walking. I think the other aspect of it is, depending on what area of the state you live in, if you're kind of in this Madison area or the Central Sands part of the state, that's on the eastern part of the state, outside of the escarpment, this is where you really get to to the elevation changes. Mm-hmm. And so you can get places like
Holy Hill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My kid would say Jinx, but Holy Hill, Pike Lake, Lapham Peak, where you can see vistas of southeast Wisconsin, but you can actually then traverse down 20, 30, 40, 50 feet into some of our neat kettles.
Let's go to Henry now, joining us from Milwaukee, and want to take us canoeing, Henry.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
awesome.
Good morning.
Program this morning. One of my favorite things to do in Wisconsin is canoeing down the Wisconsin River and just taking a couple days, stopping at sandbars and camping with friends.
Love it. Love it. So, Henry, you take a couple days to do this. I mean, this is Wisconsin's longest river.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? You have your own canoe, I assume, and you go with friends.
Yeah. Usually take, you know, two vehicles, park one upstream and one downstream, and, you know, go back and forth. It's about 25 miles that we can do in about 2 days. And you just kind of go. You see all sorts of other people. You can do a little bit of fishing. And, you know, the sandbars in the summertime are just awesome places to kick back and be out in the middle of nowhere. You know, both sides of the river are usually pretty forested, so there's no cars driving by, no people around.
It sounds like an awesome weekend. It really does. Missy?
You know, I find very interesting is I've also done that, you know, and I'm not sure where you're from Milwaukee, so maybe you've done the southern portions, Henry, which I have done as well. But last summer, I had the opportunity to kayak and canoe and tube the portions of the northern section outside of Eagle River. And completely different experience on the same river. Different rock formations, different flora and fauna that you can experience. But what I love about our rivers is that if you love kayaking and canoeing, you can get a variety of experiences in Wisconsin, not just on the Wisconsin River. But like I said, in the northern sections and the southern sections, completely different experiences, several days long, or day trips as well.
And Wisconsin has lots of river views and lookout views, vistas. What are some of the other maybe smaller points that are worth a stop?
You know, going back north again, we've got several natural scenic riverways as well as some wild rivers, which can connect into that more rustic experience. The Turtle Flambeau is what folks refer to as the boundary waters of Wisconsin. Uh-huh. So that's a really neat experience there. The Chippewa River, Willow Flowage, those all span through Oneida County, Florence County, Marinette counties, but they're very rustic experiences. Over 95% of those rivers are public land access, but solitude is really what you get. And then we've got our wild rivers, which is Pine River, Popple River, and Pike River. There's a series of waterfalls there as well. So again, if you're in for that more rustic experience, you want to, I've literally had the experience on these rivers where an eagle is flying over, a deer is drinking from the water, and a rabbit is bouncing down the shoreline, and you're just floating on your kayak lazily down the river. It's something out of a kid's book or a movie, and you're like, I cannot believe that we can find this in Wisconsin.
Let's go to the Great River Road. Runs more than half of Wisconsin's western border, altogether stretching 3,000 miles from northern Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
What can we see there following the Mississippi?
Well, we actually have 6 state parks that you can experience the river. There's different trails as well to experience views of the river, whether you're hiking or biking. But there's a really large network of communities along that river road that provide a wide variety of experience, both natural, cultural, community-driven, where you can see the natural wonders of the Mississippi and how that was formed, the other rivers that flow into it, the different vistas, the views of the bluffs, into the river bottoms. There's many different opportunities to kayak and canoe the backwaters of the Mississippi. So for folks that see all the big barges and ships and maybe feel it's a little bit daunting, there are so many opportunities to just be in the backwaters, a little bit more calm, a little bit of distance from those big ships, but you can still experience all of those different, again, the eagles and the deer and the different animals that engage with the river as well, but from a little bit of a distance.
We're talking with Missy Van Landit. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program, part of the Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about the natural wonders here in Wisconsin, whether it's the longest river, the Wisconsin River, flowing 430 miles to the Mississippi River, or other stops along the way. away, like Green Lake, which is an inland lake. Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Give a shout out to the incredible natural beauty that's here in Wisconsin, places you enjoy. What place do you go back to and appreciate? What natural beauty in Wisconsin is there for you to enjoy that you take your friends and family to? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So let's take a look at some of the lakes that Wisconsin has to offer. Where can we go first with lakes?
Wow, with 15,000 lakes.
Pick
what
one.
What an experience. Wow. You know, well, first of all, there's probably about 12 long lakes and 12 main lakes and things like that. You know, that's what I love about our Wisconsin lakes, though, is that not only do we have access to two great lakes, which provide completely different experiences, but we have those other 15,000 inland lakes that we can experience. You know, there are so many that I could list off that I just love, but... Mm-hmm. You know, the nice thing is that pretty much no matter what county you're in, you can find public access to at least one lake. The DNR actually has where you can search different counties and look up what lake might be in your area for access. It'll actually show you where the public access points are for launching boats or having trail access, things like that. So lakes in Wisconsin, we are very lucky. And yes, we do have more than Minnesota, which is always the point for our border friends. But There are so many lakes in this state for a variety of recreational opportunities that provide so many different experiences and views of some of these natural wonders that getting out to a lake, we're very lucky that we've got so many to choose from.
And there's the chain of lakes, and that terrain is quite different as well.
It is. So again, it kind of flattens out in there, and we've got some parks in there as well, and some of the different county parks and things, and that's something where you can experience it again in a day or two, or you can go for a different day visit, but lots of different access points there on the chain of lakes as well.
Where are you taking us next? What haven't we talked about that you really want to get to?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, so many people in Wisconsin know of Devil's Lake State
mm-hmm.
Park.
Yep.
But I could talk about a million others. But Devil's Lake, you know, when we get back, the Baraboo Hills area, the Baraboo Bluffs, is a really neat area to experience. It was formed 1.6 billion years ago, when you think about it. It encompasses over 50,000 acres. And many of you have been to some of the highest points of the Baraboo Bluffs or the Baraboo Hills, which is Devil's Lake State Park, both the East Bluff and the West Bluff there. But I'm not sure if many of you have been to one of the lower points of the Baraboo Hills, which is Parfrees Glen. So that's a really neat little property. It was the state's first natural area, labeled natural area.
Oh, wow.
And you can actually hike up into the trails, into some of the caves there, where even on the hottest days in the summer, I've been there when it's 90 degrees, and it's still only maybe 60 degrees during the summer. So again, really neat flora and fauna to experience, but you have the opportunity to get to the height of the Baraboo Hills and the bottom of the Baraboo Hills.
You said caves. We got to go there. Let's go caving in Wisconsin. Where do we go?
Well, Cave in the Mounds mm-hmm. is the place where you go in Wisconsin. I think in the surrounding counties, Dane, Iowa County, probably every third grader for the last 80
yes.
years has been to Cave in the Mounds.
Check.
Yes, exactly. I have not had a chance to take my kids there yet, but they ask almost every weekend, we want to see the caves. Again, it's one of those places that there's two mounds there. The highest point is actually within Blue Mound State Park, and the East Mound is actually where the caves are, is under the East mm-hmm. Mound portion. And it was open to the public. It's been open to the public since 1940. So a really neat aspect to explore the caves in our state. We have many, many more caves that aren't necessarily accessible. So many actually within the Niagara Escarpment, which this is not, but so many different caves, but that's the most accessible one to our residents.
Missy Van Landit is with us. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program, part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can join in, give a shout out to the incredible natural beauty that's here in Wisconsin, places you love to visit. 800-642-1234. What's your favorite spot, your favorite treasure? Join us, call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back for more Wisconsin Weekend after a news update on the Ideas Network. SpectacularNaturalWonders.Wisconsin. We've got more than 54,000 square miles, and there are many stunning vistas we've been learning about, many opportunities to snap a selfie next to Mother Nature at her best. We're exploring the natural wonders on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is taking us places. She is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program, and you can join in with the places that amaze you here in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. What is it like to glide along the shore of the Apostle Islands, or to walk through Cave of the Mounds, or to take that kayak down the Wisconsin River? How do you experience nature at its best here in Wisconsin? Join in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mark in Milwaukee with some ideas. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, one special place that I've returned to many times is a place called Hoffman Hills. Hoffman Hills is a tiny state park between Eau Claire and Menominee. Given its name, it's full of hills and trees, and it seems like with every step, you're experiencing something new at any time of year, winter, spring, summer, and fall. I learned to cross-country ski there. There's a observation tower at the top where you can see Eau Claire and Dunn County for miles and miles. Mm. It's just a neat little escape that I guess at one time was my church for a bit. So.
Yeah, Hoffman Hills is a great little hidden gem. I think that's what's neat about so many of our natural wonders. They're sometimes hidden places. And I agree with you, Mark. You know, fall is a great place to actually see it in the fall. They've got gorgeous views of the oaks and maples of the area and the prairies and grasses. And it's a wonderful little place to check out all seasons, though, as well.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much for taking us there. We have been bouncing around to all corners of the state this hour, but we haven't mentioned the Driftless region.
Yeah, the Driftless area, which so much of our state was formed by glaciers and lava rolls and everything else, but this escaped the glaciers, which is why it's the Driftless area. You know, in the western and southwestern parts of the state, you know, it's characterized by a lot of rugged topography, different cold water springs, streams, and rocks. So many bluffs and valleys as well. And it extends, you know, which we don't necessarily realize, it extends into our neighboring states too. The highest point is actually, again, at Blue Mound State Park at just about 1,700 feet. And it extends over 24,000 square miles.
Let's go to Sarah now, joining us from Ashland. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I think it's just interesting. I've been to so many of the places that you have been speaking about because my parents grew up in Ashland. I actually grew up in Minnesota, but right now I am visiting their cottage. That was a family cottage that my parents still own in between Ashland and Washburn. Mm. And I grew up listening to my parents talking about the Barrens and this great area that burned. And so growing up, I've explored the area referred to as the Barrens. I know that there's beautiful ATV trails through the sandy areas. And I remember going and picking blueberries and blackberries in the Barrens. And it's such a, you know, it's not a state park destination, but I think it's an area that's really fondly remembered by people who remember the incredible devastation of that fire. And so it's really been fun listening. I'm looking out my window right now toward the Barrens, and there's a little bunny hopping on the snow.
Aww.
So it's a very special place.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking us there.
You've given me a new place to explore, Sarah, because I've never been there. But I know what fire does to rejuvenate areas as well. And it sounds like a really neat place. I'm excited to check it out.
Let's go to Robert now in Fond du Lac. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I was just thinking of a place outside of Fond du Lac here. It's in between here, Oakfield, called Breakneck. And it's part of the fault line that runs through this area. So it's just like a crack kind of that you can climb in, you know, there's caves. And, it's really kind of small, but it's not well known, I guess is what I should say.
Robert, are you a climber?
When I go there. but it's just really serene and not a lot of people know about it because it's not like a national park or even, I don't even know if it's qualified as a park. It's really just you can find the driveway. It's on Breakneck Road. That's the only reason that I, you know, that's the only way I can say where it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. What do we know about that area?
You know, I have never heard of that, but there's so many, you know, along with the Niagara Escarpment, there are so many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles of area in that part of the state to find little hidden gems like that. That's just another opportunity, I'm assuming, with the location that is part of the Niagara Escarpment with the rock outcroppings and things. But there's probably a lot of that. We don't realize how much of it is actually in our backyards.
Well, where can we go next? Because we've talked about so many different places. We haven't touched on Horicon Marsh that much. What else can you?
You know, Southeast Wisconsin. It's the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the United States, and it's formally recognized as a wetland of international importance. So it's, you know, very neat area. Hundreds and hundreds of species of birds actually migrate through there, and that's one of the bigger attractions for folks to check that out. As I talked about earlier, it's home to a portion of the ledges, which is one of the highest points of the Niagara Escarpment that you can view the marsh from. And there's actually a place there called the Explorium, which is new, and it gives you a window. It's part of their nature center. It gives you a window into the different aspects of the marsh, different aspects of recreation in our state, and you can actually go and experience a virtual experience of an airboat there. So a wonderful place to take kids especially, but if you're looking for a way to get into nature without actually getting into nature, see the Explorium, because all weather, maybe this weekend with the snow and rain we're expecting, good place to check out would be Horicon Marsh.
And as we start to wrap up here, Missy, if you live in a city in, say, Milwaukee or Madison, and you don't have a lot of time to really spend a whole weekend going on a trip, what can we do in our inner cities?
Trails are where it's at. You know, going on, you know, even a half mile hike or 1 mile hike offers you so many different opportunities to view the natural wonders of the state and to just get out and experience it and create those memories with your family.
Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Missy Van Landit, she is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Recreation Management Program that is part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Two massive natural wonders near Wisconsin are none other than our Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. Our state has more than 1,000 miles of Great Lakes shoreline. And in this edition of Wisconsin Life, former Maritime Museum educator Wendy Lutzke describes the power of wind and water.
Gales on Lake Michigan can be as destructive as hurricanes, attracting thrill seekers as curious as the tornado chasers on the open prairies. When a gale warning alert pops up repeatedly on my phone, I know it's going to be a doozy. People have died and ships have disappeared in gales like this on the Great Lakes. But the gravity of that doesn't stop people from being drawn to the water's edge to witness it for themselves. So, based on personal experience, here's what you do. Choose a spot on the shore that's exposed to the elements but won't put you in imminent danger of being swept into the waves. pull off your hat or loosen your hood and face yourself into the wind. Feel the wind pull your hair back and let the airborne waves splatter your face. If the wind gives you a shove backwards and forces you to shout to be heard by the person near you, you've passed the test. You'll be rewarded by waves that dwarf man-made piers and lighthouses, ramming and rolling over them with ease, creating a splash that temporarily suspends the water twice as high as the original wave. Days or weeks from now, someone will discover that parts of a shipwreck once hidden are now exposed, or one that was exposed has now been swallowed by the shifting sands. Provided you're not a target for flying debris and there's no lightning, you know you can stand out in it for as long as your crazy obsession lasts. The word awesome may be overused in our American vocabulary, but in some circumstances, like this, it's the first word that slips past your lips as the wind makes you squint and the waves crash at your feet. While I was thrilled to be out during the gale, I was just as interested in its aftermath. Evidence of nature's power was everywhere. Sand was saturated at least 30 feet inland from shore. Dune grass bent flat into submission created beautiful patterns in the smooth, sculpted sand. The finest nature artists, with all their talent, can't create the spontaneous beauty that nature does. Only nature can make a little slit in the piece of driftwood home for the pebble perfectly embedded there. What human could splay the smooth stones out as tiny moons orbiting an oddly shaped driftwood planet in the sand? Only nature could place the tree limb on the beach and decorate it with chains of mussel shells like garland forgotten on last year's Christmas tree. As much as I love the peaceful mornings of purple dawn over a calm lake, I'm drawn to this big water when it's roiled and angry. Beauty and power work as partners in humbling me and making me thankful to live in one of Wisconsin's coastal communities.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. This edition of Wisconsin Weekend was produced by Keely Boltina and Colleen Leahy. Michelle Johnson is executive producer and provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you find Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network.